Thorny, as we venture into the R&R, two truths are consistent. We love our dear Montana state, and we love great beer. And you know who else feels the same? Jeremiah Johnson Brewing. Brewed in the heart of Montana in downtown Great Falls, Jeremiah Johnson takes Montana's finest ingredients to craft some of Montana's favorite beers. And now, Jeremiah Johnson's second tap room is open in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Their Citra IPA is probably one of my favorites. But we all know, Thorny, you're not the hop lover I am. You're more of a mountain man Scotch ale.
Well, Foley, I'm certainly not a mountain man, but you are right. I do love their mountain man Scotch ale. But come game day, you and I are both cracking their Golden Bobcat Pale Ale. So when you're looking for a quality craft beer brewed with Montana roots, a relaxing tap room, or just a six-pack to take to your favorite Bobcat tailgate, Jeremiah Johnson delivers. Make your next beer a Jeremiah Johnson, and as always, go Cats.
Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of R&R After Dark. This kind of episode is where Thorny and I give our gut takes on, well, today is going to be the UT Martin playoff game that we just won 26-7. Coach Vegan's first playoff win as a Cat coach. It feels really good after 2 weeks to have a win. Thorny, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, it feels good to get back in the win column and on the most important stage. I'm doing great.
Ah, nice, man. All right, like I said, this will be a quick take episode. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But before we do that, we like to go through the NCAA football scoreboard. We're going to talk about the playoffs of the FCS, and we'll talk about what's happening. Normally, it's around the Big Sky, but
playoff edition.
We're just going to cover it all, man. Yeah, playoff edition for sure. So, all right. Just went final. Sac State had a rally comeback against South Dakota State. South Dakota State's did not get a seed. Sac State got the 4th seed. South Dakota State put a hurt on them early, kind of dictated those terms in that game, and ultimately came out with the victory 24-19.
Yeah, they were up 24-0, and Sac scored 19 straight points and, you know, came real close to winning that game.
I think Sac State had probably like 7 more minutes in that game, they might have won.
They were definitely trending upwards, and that's why South Dakota State went for it on 4th-and-1 at the very end with like a minute left, because they knew if Sac State got the ball back, they were going to drive down the field again, because they had been doing that. So close, you got it by about a foot. It was an exciting game. There's a bunch of exciting games. Another exciting game, East Tennessee State mounts a comeback against Kennesaw State. East Tennessee State was the 7th seed. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. But they were down like 31-17 with like 5 minutes left, came back, scored a touchdown to tie it up with 35 seconds left, and then converted a touchdown to bring it within one, but then went for two to win the game, 32-31. So big win for East Tennessee State. I believe it's their first in program history because they are a pretty new program. So exciting game there as well.
Do you know what the mascot is for East Tennessee State?
The Buccaneers, pretty sure.
Oh.
Their first year in existence, I think they played in Bozeman, like 2015.
Huh.
Dakota Prukop played against East Tennessee State.
All right, hey, James Madison put a whooping on Southeast Louisiana 59-20. I didn't see anything from that game, so have no insights. Thorny, do you?
Nah, I mean, Cole Kelly looked pretty good, but James Madison looked a lot better.
Yeah, and James Madison.
They're a better team than the one player for the Lions. Another epic game, Sam Houston State, Incarnate Word, the game. I think all Bobcat fans were rooting real hard for Incarnate Word there. They came within a 4th-and-goal, and they went down and like got down to maybe the 1 yard line and reached for the goal line and got stopped with like 15 seconds left or something like that. That would have been the same situation as the East Tennessee State Kennesaw game, where they would have been down by 1 point and could have decided to go for two or just tie it up. But man, real close, real big game from Incarnate Word, and Darn.
In current words, quarterback Cameron Ward had almost 500 yards of offense of passing.
481 yards and five touchdowns.
Oh, man. I think in that game, I'm getting kind of lost in the shuffle of the internet right here, so I'm not seeing it really well. Box score, here we go. I think Incarnate Word only had like 80-some yards of rushing.
Well, yeah, because they threw the ball for 490 yards.
119 yards of rushing, excuse me. 22 carries for 119 yards. Yeah, 481 yards. Can you imagine if a Bobcat quarterback threw for 481 yards?
It's been a while, man. I think Prochow probably had one of those games. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah, it's probably did. Yeah. Well, we'd be talking about a whole different offense, but wow.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sam Houston State, that's our opponent next week. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Going on, North Dakota State hung it on the Salukis, Southern Illinois, 38-7. Southern Illinois, most famously, well, they took down North Dakota State in the spring season, and so that was kind of a revenge game for North Dakota State. Not a big crowd over in Fargo, kind of a boring game. I watched a little bit of it. Southern Illinois never even had a shot.
No, it's looking, the more things change, the more they stay the same. James Madison, North Dakota State, looking like potentially the two best teams in the country. Moving on down, there's the Bobcat game right there, so I'm going to skip over that, obviously. Villanova struggles at home against Holy Cross. Villanova, the four seed, has to hang on to beat Holy Cross 21-16 in a game I think many people thought Nova was going to just cruise. Not so much, but they hang on for the win and advance to the quarterfinals. No comment on the game. Hey, I didn't watch it. I don't know anything about Nova or Holy Cross.
I did watch a little, excuse me. I did watch a little bit of that game. One thing that stood out to me is they're not as big as the guys we see. Like, they're fast, but they're just like the linemen in the trenches, just not as big.
Interesting. All right. Well, there's one game left to talk about, and it's all yours.
I don't have it in front of me. There it is. Oh, not the one I wanted to talk about.
Game all we all watched.
Grizzlies took down the Eastern. Yeah, the Grizzlies took down the Eastern Eagles. The one time I was actually rooting for the Eagles, and they still make me mad. 57-41. In fact, the moment I started watching that game, everything started going bad for the Eagles. So if you want to make me your scapegoat, Eag fans, if any Eag fans listen to this, I'll take it on.
Yep. No real comment. Pretty dominating win by the Grizz. They got their revenge. I think it's really hard to beat a team twice in one season, and here we are proving that yet again. Yeah. They move on to take on James Madison. That'll be a interesting and entertaining game. Here we go.
I hope James Madison just mops the floor with them. I'd love to see that.
I'm not going
to
say it because I'm not going to speak it and jinx it.
Okay. I just said I hoped. I'm not making a prediction.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not going to even put my rooting vibes out into the world. All right.
You're so superstitious, you and I.
We just got done talking about how I just started rooting for the Eagles and they started sucking, basically. So I'm going to use that and not say who I'm rooting for, but I'm pretty sure it's obvious. If anyone knows anything about this podcast or us or most Bobcat fans.
All right, Thorny, hey, let's talk about the playoff win that we just got done watching, man.
26-7. The defense pitches a shutout. They only scored because Tommy Lott fumbled the ball with 20 seconds left in the first half, which was a scoop and score, which was extremely frustrating. Made it 10-7 at halftime, but Cats come out in the second half, hold them to 0 points, score 16 points, put it away, 26-7. We want to start with the good, bad, and ugly. Is that what we're going to do here, like we always do?
Yeah, man.
Who wants to
take
it?
That's how we do this. I got a couple things in my good. I'll give you one of them. Willie Patterson had a really good game. It was really good to see Willie Patterson have a good game. I mean, you and I have been pretty supportive of Willie this year. I mean, he's had his cataloged struggles,
for him.
Specifically in the punt game. I know a couple people kind of like, man, come on, Willie, catch the ball. Well, you know what? He had a, I want to say like a 47-yard return today. Yeah, he had a 47-yard return today without a flag being thrown.
Yep, I was waiting for it.
Oh, I know, right? Because he's had, I think, two or three, most notably the Wyoming one where there was a phantom block in the back that negated the touchdown that pretty much negated us a 10-win season in the you know, maybe a number one seed.
Yeah.
Going into this whole thing. So I was super stoked for Willie. And also there was a little connection with him and Malott. You know, he seemed to be like kind of a safety blanket on the outside for Malott. I really liked how, I'm just going to parlay this into it. Tommy Malott, the sprint out of the pocket, I think putting Malott on outside the pocket, just sprinting out, looking for the receivers, utilizing his speed. He looked like a more comfortable thrower when we bounced him on the outside.
Yeah, can't argue with any of that. I agree 100%. My good, I'm going straight to the low-hanging fruit here. The defense. The defense was outstanding. They shut it down. Dresser Wynn only threw for 98 yards on 13 of 27 passing. The whole team ran for 66 yards. But, it, I mean, if you take out the sacks by Dresser Wynn, even then, there are two running backs combined for just 90 yards on 19 carries. So that's pretty solid day. I was very happy with the defense. I thought they would play well, and they did. And they played even probably better than I was hoping they would. So kudos to the defense. Definitely in my good column.
I'm going to go on the opposite end. We rushed for 387 yards, man. Come on. Holy smokes. I think we had a total of 438 yards. Damn, that's a big game for the Bobcats. I know my bold prediction was that we would have two Bobcats that would go over 100 and we would be north of 300. I nailed it, man. You know what's more impressive, too? Just one last point on that is UT Martin was stuffing the box. Holy smokes. They had like 8-9 people in there quite often. And we're still pulling yards.
Well, along that same vein, then I've been thinking about what I'm going to say. I came into this, like, I don't know what I'm going to say in good, bad, or ugly. It was kind of a different game to analyze, a different feel than you've had from other Bobcat games. But I'll put the offensive line in my good category. I thought they came to play today. It could be the level of the opponent, you know, but I'm not going to let that take away from I thought that they played well. I thought they blocked pretty well. And I thought they opened some nice holes, especially for Tommy. I thought they did a good job. So I thought the line improved. I think they need to continue to improve if we want to go further in the playoffs. But, you know, that's a good first step. And I thought they played well today.
It looked like they were having fun. Every time I looked at Tui's face or Lewis Kidd's face, they were just laughing. Just smiling.
You just made me think of Justice Perkins. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember? Yeah. When he drew the false start on their nose tackle, he gave him a little shove, and he just like flailed his arms back, like whoa, 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 and he's like held his hand to his heart, like he's just having a heart attack or something. I was laughing pretty hard about that. Like I don't know how the other team feels. It's probably I don't know. Like what is this kid doing? I don't know, but that was pretty funny. Yeah, they were having fun. They were having fun for sure. Like especially and on that same play, like Lewis Kidd was over there just kind of like dancing or something. Like they were having fun. They knew that they had taken their soul, I think.
Yeah. Well, they got back to playing loose and having fun. I know that was a
big thing
something we harped on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, every time we needed some yards, I would see, we would just run off the big old Loose Kid's hip right there, man. He would just plow his guy and Fonse would just find Lewis Kidd. Like if we were like third and two or if he hit a fourth down, I was like, yeah, I just started watching Lewis Kidd. I was like, I know where we're going to run the ball. We're just going to run off him. And he was just having himself a day.
I don't know what turn it is. I'm going to take it, though. Isaiah Fonse, putting him back in my good category. Oh. He looked healthy. He looked explosive. He only had a long of 18 yards. I thought the Skyhawks did a decent job of limiting big runs by the running backs, at least. I mean, obviously, besides Malott's 73-yard scamper. But yeah, so his long of was 18, but he still ran for 176 yards on 28 carries. That means he's like literally never got stopped for like less than 4 yards or something. Like it was a great performance. He looked powerful and strong, and I'm excited to see what he can do down at Huntsville.
Ooh, man, yeah. I'm going to put Tommy Mellott in my good as well. I thought for a first time starting as a freshman quarterback in a playoff game, he did just fine. I mean, it was completely windy out there, so we're not going to talk too much about his passing. Only had, I think, 50 or 51 yards passing, but the moment wasn't too big for him.
Yeah, we're going to talk a heck of a lot about the quarterback situation on our Monday episode. But yeah, for right now, his command of the offense looked good. It was a windy day. I mean, I was impressed with his performance. Like, I'll put him in the good category too, because I'm definitely not putting him in the bad category. I'm pleased enough with it. We're going to need a lot more out of that throwing game. But yeah, for today, for first start ever in the playoffs as a freshman, good job, Tommy.
All right. Hey, let's move on to the bad. I got only two things in the bad. Chase Benson, I don't know if he's going to be hurt. He went out and then they cut away, but then I heard people clapping, and so I don't know if he got up. I rewatched the play probably like five times. I was like, I couldn't figure it out. He tackled a guy and he got his leg whipped around. Somebody on board said it might be his back. Let's hope it's not his back. I think he might have been, heck, I don't know, maybe just a quote unquote lower body injury, but hopefully it's not too serious on that. The second thing I was going to put in the bad is Stones Glessner.
Yeah.
Not terrible. Like, he was 2 for 3. He missed the extra point. His kicks look crappy right now. They're just coming off low and like wonky. And you're right. Every time, ever since I met his parents and told him I nicknamed his son Stones on the podcast, I cursed him, man. Like, he missed that chip shot over in the Eastern. And so I feel terrible. I take it back. So I don't know. I'll still call him Stones because, I mean, it's too late. That's what we call him now. But, He's got to come on, man.
He's got to play better, man. But you know, he's still solid enough. But yeah, he didn't have a great day in the office today for sure. Gosh, I'm trying to think of a bad to put in here. I mean, Tommy Lott's fumble.
Yeah,
I mean,
giving up the score right before half.
Like, that's not the way you expected it, right? Like, I know you and I hate giving up scores before half. It's like one of the biggest momentum killers you can have. It makes you feel sick going into halftime, like in a game you were feeling okay about or even dominating, but even if the scoreboard wasn't reflecting it, all of a sudden it's 10-7. It's like, oh man, this, I feel real bad right now. And I mean, he held on, he had his arms wrapped around the ball like you're supposed to, but he just let it fly out. And yeah, that's the bad category / ugly category. That was a pretty bad one on Tommy there to let that happen, but you know, it happens.
Yeah, well, we never get the scoop and score. I've been waiting for a scoop and score all season long. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I was just so frustrated. I remember texting you. I was like, man, it's never easy being a Cat fan. It just never is. And at that same moment, you were texting me like, yeah, the men's basketball team is just blowing the lead right now. We ended up winning both men's and women's games against Sac State. And the football game, but
it was a real
enough to
low
make
point
you sweat a little bit.
Yeah, real low point in the Bobcat fandom all at the same time between basketball, the men's program,
right?
And the football team.
It was just
team.
Coming crashing in. yeah, that was my ugly, was the scoop and score. So I don't have anything else behind that.
I was trying to think, like, I was going to put my ugly category. We didn't force a turnover, but then I remember we did. I'm looking at the stats here. I remember, like, Simeon Werder and Trey Webb crashed into each other, and the ball somehow popped up and landed right on Simeon Werder as he laying on his back. And that made me want to say, I want to reverse this real quick here and put Simeon Werder in my good category. Man, he played awesome today. That's probably the best I've seen him play. He's really coming on, man. He's just a freshman. He's going to be a good player for the Cats. I was really excited to see him play. He's probably the best performance I've seen out of a cornerback maybe this year, just like an individual performance-wise. It was great.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's just consistently gotten better. He's just playing at a high level right now.
I have nothing.
I thought we were going to miss Munchie.
I don't feel
like we've missed Munchie all that much.
You're right. I was concerned about that, but we've been just fine without him. But our defensive line has been so good. Like, corners haven't been asked to do a ton, which is great. But now they're showing up.
Man, so this is what we've been waiting for, right?
It is.
December football. I mean, it's so short-lived. It really is. Like, but the highs are intoxicating in December.
Yep.
I mean, this is why we play football, is to get to this point. And now it's just like, it's the stuff I remember. I mean, I remember in 2019 wholeheartedly playing Austin Peay, still one of my favorite games. And it's like moments like this where you're like, come on, I just love Bobcat football in December when we're winning. It's so much fun.
No, man, it's totally true. And I'm excited to watch the Cats play next week because I think we have a puncher's chance in this one.
I'd say so. We'll get into it on Monday, though. We're going to break down Sam Houston State and the Montana State. The boys are going to go play in some warm weather. That's going to be probably pretty good for them. I think it's going to be a lot less windy. I hope Montana State will be able to, you know, maybe open up the pass game a little bit more. I think they probably will.
They're going to have to.
We'll talk about that because that's a matchup they
have to.
Yeah,
that's a big key more than 51 passing yards to beat Sam Houston State.
All right, Thorny. Let's get out of here, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to our instant reaction after dark episode here. You can find us on Twitter, RRCatCast. You can find us on the web, RRCatCast.com. You can always find us hanging out in Bobcat Nation, the best place for online for the Bobcat fans to congregate. Let's get out of here with the Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.